Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, talking about something we haven't talked about in quite a while,
at least
specifically. We mentioned probate on occasion in other discussions, but we're focusing right in totally on probate.
Yeah, it's been something that, yes, isn't it, though? So it's a topic that when potential clients come in, they say, I want to avoid probate.
Yeah, and I hear that term a lot.
Yeah, and it's really something that is on the top of people's minds, but then I see that a lot of individuals really don't know what the probate process is, or they had to go through it with their parents. So a parent dies and they go, oh yeah, I was the executor of my parents' will or trust or whatever else. And they've had some experience in walking through the journey, and it's either, well, that wasn't a big deal, or that was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be all or nothing, one side or the other. So there's a lot of misinformation, and hearing people's stories of why it was a nightmare, a lot of times it's because they don't have the proper knowledge of what they're supposed to be doing in the probate process. Hence, it gives lawyers a job, right? Because then hopefully an attorney would be able to guide you through the very specific process if indeed you were going through that. But I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to bring it to the table, talk about some nuances of probate. Why do we need it? What's the steps of probate? What would it look like if somebody had to? Why do we even have to go through probate? All these different questions. So, yeah, I wanted to talk a little more specifically about probate and then maybe even get into the idea of, well, how do we eventually potentially avoid the probate process? Because there's a lot of different opportunities to avoid probate process. We're not going to get to that in today's show, but hopefully on these other
basically things. Probate is the state or the government wanting to make sure everything is working properly and they're getting their fair share. It seems like mainly what it's about is taxes. And
well,
everybody else knowing about your estate other than just you privately.
Yeah, those are some of the assumptions. So we'll definitely uncover some of those. And so yes, it's an open public system because it goes through the courts. I would not say that the main reason is to get the taxes out but yes, that's the sense, is that I don't want the government in my business. And probate just allows everybody in your business up to what someone can see in public records through the court system. Hmm. So, but anyway, let's get into it. Let's talk about some of these specifics, right? What is a probate and all this good stuff?
Well, right off the bat, what does the word probate mean? I'm kind of throwing you a curve here. It's not part of your outline. What does that word even mean, probate?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what the actual word itself means, so that is a little bit of a curveball.
Okay.
But I can tell you what it is
mm-hmm.
and what we have to deal with when people talk about probate. So the thought process out in the marketplace is probate is this big evil monster that's looming out there, and very similar to maybe some of what your comment is, which is it's ready to steal something. It's the government-controlled process of wanting to pounce on the estate when someone dies. And it actually has been, even from the attorney perspective, when I first became an attorney, I ran across different slides or different thought processes of how attorneys were presenting the probate process. And there were the evils of probate. There was a thing called the four evils of probate.
And
I can't even remember what the four evils are. And so, but that is the thought process. And it's been a part of the attorney issue of how we've presented probate. And I'm here to give a little bit of a voice of reason, which is probate is not an evil monster sitting in the background. Now, is it something that we can easily avoid and create a plan that is going to be better and more efficient than going through the probate process? Absolutely. Yes.
And that is the main difference between a trust and a will.
A will will
always go into probate, but trust, if they're designed properly, like you say, you can avoid probate.
And you use some very strategic words in there because you've been listening to me a long time. We've been in this together for a while, which is if the trust is created properly and if all the assets are properly integrated with that plan. So I watch a lot of trusts still go to probate because they weren't created properly or there was no relationship with an attorney to make sure that the trust was up to date and to ensure that all the assets are in the trust properly. So trust can still go to probate. As a matter of fact, a lot of them, not just a small amount, but a lot of them still go. I don't have a statistic on it, but I'm just from my experience and observation, many, many trusts still end up through the probate process, which people thought I was going to avoid probate with a trust. But if it's not done properly, then it's still going to end up there. So one of the first things I wanted to start this discussion about probate with is that it's not a big evil monster sitting in the background that is ready to pounce on you. There's a very logical reason of why we need probate and why even with a trust, somebody may still have to go through it, but we're going to kind of pull all these different things apart as we talk through the probate process.
Okay, well, let's talk about that process and why maybe a probate is good.
Yeah, so a probate and probate process was designed because if I have an asset and it is in my personal name, then how does someone move a legal asset of mine to someone else if I have died? So let's take real estate. It's the easiest example. Many people own real estate or have experience with real estate. And so therefore, this connection can be relatable. So if I own a piece of property and for an example, imagine that the property is only in my name and I am not married. If you are married, there's community property rights. Typically, married couples own it jointly. So if somebody dies, the joint owner wins. They'll take it in totality, specifically depending on how the title is created. But for this example, whether I was married and now I am single because my spouse has already passed away, or whether – so in other words, I'm single. Now I die, and I own this piece of property in my name. How does somebody sign my name legally to transfer real estate? And understand, real estate is probably the easiest example, but it's also one of the more complicated examples because there's a thing called chain of title, which is that when you purchase a home, you get a thing called title insurance. What title insurance is doing is that it is ensuring that when you purchase this property, that you are going to be the next legal owner, that there is not a problem in the past to where someone else could come and make a claim on that piece of property. So imagine if we had a 20-acre farm and Farmer Joe, I don't know why every farmer is called Joe, but we're going to still go with it. So Farmer Joe now sells off 5 acres of his property, okay? And back in the day, if they just wrote it on a napkin through a handshake or whatever else and put in some stakes in the ground, well, if it's not done properly, if it was not legally properly sold, we could have a chain of title problem to where Farmer Joe's beneficiaries, when he dies, can come back and say, that real estate deal that you did with my dad, it was never properly done, and so we want it back. Well, that's everyone's greatest fear is I don't want to spend a huge amount of money to eventually have this property, this real estate be taken from me or for someone else to have this claim on it. Have you ever done research? It, it, it's idealistic and it's romantic. Have you ever heard of these? Come to Italy and buy a property for $1 in these dying towns, and you can buy it, but you have to become a resident and everything else. Well, there's a big problem with that, is that Italian law, and I'm no expert on Italian law, but from what research I've done is that the claim on the land can go back generations, and someone with the blood multiple generations long ago can make a claim on that land at almost any time. So if you don't have a proper purchase, there is a scary component that someone else could actually come out of the woodwork. Now, our laws are not the same. That's not how our American laws work. Mm. However, we still need clean, proper chain of title. So now we're back to the death issue. Someone needs to be able to legally sign my name if I die, so that we can continue to have a clean chain of title, so that whoever buys it from my estate knows that it is theirs and theirs alone, that my creditors, my beneficiaries, my other generational people cannot come and make a claim on that piece of property after someone has purchased it. Or worse yet, they're trying to now sell the property and we found out that somebody signed my name and didn't have the proper legal authority around it. So why do we need probate? Wow, that was a long dance around to get to this point, wasn't it? Mm. I hope everyone out there is like, okay, Paul, now you're just boring me. Okay, well, I am talking about estate planning, so that's a problem to start with. But so now we get to probate. Is why do we need probate? Because we need a legal system to empower someone to sign my name after I have died. Now, a power of attorney does not do this. A power of attorney ends the moment I die. So a financial power of attorney is only valid during my lifetime. It's because I have a personal right, my personal power that I am allowing somebody to use. But as soon as I die, I no longer have my personal power. Therefore, a financial power of attorney ends because my personal power has ended. So therefore, you can't sell a decedent's property, or you can't go to a bank with a death certificate and a financial power of attorney. Why will a bank turn you away and say, I need proper legal paperwork in order to release the account or even tell you anything about the account? They're looking for the proper legal person to talk to from the estate perspective. So whether it's a bank account, whether it's an investment account, whether it is real estate, if we don't have joint ownership and we don't have a beneficiary on these assets, then how do we find legal ways to sign my name or allow someone to then move my property? And the answer is, we have to use the probate system. Mm. And so probate actually is created so that there is a legal mechanism so that someone who has passed away, the person who is legally authorized to represent that decedent, can sign the decedent's name. You don't literally sign their name, but operate on their behalf to move their property to the rightful people. Mm. So that's why we have probate. That was a little long-winded, I think. But that's okay. We got to the point.
14 minutes?
That's not bad.
Show's over.
Sometimes, for me, that's a pretty good run. Just for only 14 minutes on why do we need a probate? So it's a legal mechanism so that property can be transferred for a decedent. There you go.
Okay. Well, there is more to discuss
subject
of probate. We'll be back with that in moments. People are interested in your approach to these and many other subjects, and they want your help. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There are upcoming opportunities, educational opportunities. There's past podcasts, all of this information and ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at the subject of probate this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. Interesting discussion. Paul was pretty much able to define what probate is in the first half of the show. Now we move on into other particulars with probate.
Yeah, and one of the things that I get a lot of questions surrounding probate is, well, who is going to actually have to go through a probate process? So does everyone have to go through a probate process if they die? Is it certain circumstances, certain situations? So let's address not just what is probate or why do we need the probate, but then who is going to be subject to it? So I gave some clear examples of assets. So number one, the most common reason that someone would need to be going through a probate or their estate would go through a probate after they die is because they have assets in their own name. And when they have assets in their own name with no beneficiary and it's not jointly titled, then we need to move that asset, as we were talking about before break, to whether it is a creditor or a beneficiary, or we need cash to pay an expense. So assets are the most common reason that a probate needs to be opened for someone's estate. Another circumstance of why would we need to go through probate is if you die and you had a minor child and the other parent was not there. So kind of the catastrophic, we need a will when we have a minor. The worst case scenario, right? We're in the car together and both parents die, leaving a minor child. Well, even with a trust. So here's one example when even with a trust, you would need to open up a probate, which is we would need to get legal guardians, permanent guardians around those minor children. Mm. And that requires a probate process. Now, when you use a revocable living trust, hopefully it is well designed and all the assets are integrated with that plan. So the assets themselves would not go through the probate process. But unfortunately, just getting the guardians around minors, that would need to be done. We would need legal documentation of who is going to assist these minors. That would take a probate. It takes a court order in order to assign and permanently name a new guardian. Mm. So even if you have a trust or a will or no plan at all, then—
Which is 50% of the public.
Yeah, right, with nothing at all, correct. Right. Then that would be another reason of why a probate would need to be done. Other reasons for why would a probate need to be opened up? I give this example with clients, which is if I was driving home after work and someone crossed the center line, hit me head on and killed me, my wife would be ticked and now she's going to sue someone. Mm. Okay, but I'm the one who was harmed. I died in the story. It's my harm. Yes, my wife has a secondary harm of losing a spouse unexpectedly, but I'm the one who was initially harmed. So how does she sue that driver on my behalf? Well, you have to open up a probate. So I call it dying wrong. If I die wrong, meaning not in my sleep peacefully or perfectly known. So if I was killed by someone else, then there are multiple opportunities of lawsuits, wrongful death claims, and a bunch of other things where and by the way, that's not what I do. That's another attorney. That's court work. I do everything to stay out of court.
Right.
But now my wife would need to open up a probate in order to sue on my behalf because I can't do it myself. Mm. I'm gone. Mm. So therefore, a probate could be opened up on behalf of somebody who did not die peaceably, who died, quote unquote, wrong, as in my story. So that's another reason why we may actually have to go to probate, regardless of trust, will, or no estate plan. Mm. One other reason that probates are opened up is that if somebody wants to challenge the will or the trust, mm. so they would do that through a probate process. If we have a disgruntled beneficiary, if we have a child who was disinherited, and let's say that the will actually gave a reason. I'm disinheriting my child because of blank, 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 blank. Oh, that's just – that's not good.
Don't the trusts often – you have a clause in there too. This is all binding, and if anybody challenges it, they only get a dollar or something. I've seen that one in there a lot.
Yeah. It's called a no contest clause, which is don't contest this. And that is actually valid in Washington state. And so they can be upheld, but they are very, very, very narrowly upheld. It's I tell people this is for the greedy person. If they're just coming in to say, well, mom told me to take the house on her deathbed and I want it. Okay. But that was never a part of the will or the trust, everything was supposed to be split equally. Okay. So somebody is disgruntled, disinherited. Somebody does poor draftsmanship and gives a reason of why they're disinherited. And somebody goes, that was resolved in our relationship, whatever the case may be. There's another reason why we may have to get into a tenuous situation and actually start a probate or defend a probate. So last one that I'll mention is creditors. If there is a reason to not pay a creditor, so let's say there is a credit card, and nowadays, if someone passes away, and let's say there was fraudulent activity on the credit card, but now the credit card wants the estate to pay instead of either forgiving it and or dealing with the fraudulent activity, eventually a creditor can sue the estate. So again, that's another challenge. But a creditor could start a lawsuit against the estate because they're not being paid properly
how
or
often
proper
does that
notice.
Happen? Kind of depends on how much money's at stake or
yes. And I don't think creditors actually take that last step of actually suing the estate all that often. But most creditor notices, we'll get into that some other time. It is in my notes to talk about how to deal with creditors through the probate process. And so I don't see many lawsuits actually started against the estate. Most people would pay them if they're rightfully an expense of the estate or the decedent had a credit card. Most people are going to want to pay those off. Mm-hmm. So that's why an estate may end up at the probate process. Those are multiple different reasons why. So now we've covered what is a probate, why do we need it, who could get there, who could get to an estate. So let's talk to here for the last couple minutes of our show today of what would be the exact process of opening up an estate. Mm. Well, in Washington, it is like starting a lawsuit. And the expenses in Washington are not that egregious because it's just simply opening up a lawsuit. It's a filing fee. Plus, you have to pay to get what's called letters testamentary or letters administration. Letters testamentary is when someone has a will and it's submitted to the court because the testamentary object has empowered you. Letters administration is when someone does not have a will that was submitted to probate, but someone is coming forward from the family that has the legal right to say, I want to close the estate. So a will would either name someone as the personal representative. We call them the personal representative in Washington. It's also known as an executor. So the will can name that and or There is a process to go through to be named as the personal representative. But the first step, and we're going to have to kind of pick this up, review this exact section where we're at for next week. But the first step is that we actually have to create a petition like a lawsuit and submit it to the court with usually the death certificate and then the original will if we have been able to find one. So that tells us a couple things. We need to have a death certificate. Usually that can take anywhere from 7 to 14 days after someone has passed away. They're getting faster. Early in my career, it took 3 months one time to get a death certificate.
Wow.
And actually filling out that paperwork of information properly so that the death certificate does not have to be amended is a very important thing as well. But so we need a death certificate. And if we have a known will, then we need to submit that to the court. So we need those two items. That takes a couple weeks. So people have an opportunity to deal with memorial services and other things before we can even start the probate process. Usually between 2 and 4 weeks after someone has passed away is usually the soonest that we can get a probate actually opened. So we'll come back and we'll pick up this topic of probate. Why do we need it? How can we avoid it? And let's uncover some of these things.
Okay, that's next time, but you're listening. You're already convinced you need Paul's help with your trust or will or whatever you're working on. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.